Brian, how are we doing this morning? Good, good to see you all. As Brian said, my name is Rob. I'm one of the pastors here, and man, we're excited to be balcony. Good morning to you as well. I feel like a whole nother world up there. Good to see you all. We're excited in our sermon series, the overflow, that God's love that would overflow in our lives as he invites us into the best relationship, the relationship within the Trinity, and God's love overflows into our life, and he invites us to be a part of that in all relationships, not just romantic relationships, but friendships, family, workplace. How do we have friendships, and even with our coworkers, how do we have good, healthy relationships there? And so that's what we're going to go into today and focus on. And if you've got your lesson plan, it's really our bulletin. Pull that out, and we've got we're going to jump into some notes. But before we get into any sort of note, I want us to ground this a little bit, if you will, because we can talk about concepts, we can talk about the Bible and theorize about a lot of things, but we're talking about people here. And we talk about a God that, am I fading in and out? Let me fix that. We're talking about a God that came in the flesh as a person, and so he meets us on a very personal level. And so I want you to draw up in this morning, just maybe one, two, if you're feeling like extra ambitious, three people, but I want you to personalize this message. I want you to think about one person that you would like to have a better relationship with them, that you want to make a plan in order to love them. And today we're going to talk about serving. And so that we want to figure out, what does God call us into loving that person? So draw that one person into your mind, and we're going to think about how to make a plan to love them. Because I love this quote that Benjamin Franklin says, if you fail to plan, does this keep cutting in and out? All right, let me just go, we'll go Mike. Can we go on this one, Mark? We good? All right, there we go. All right. So Benjamin Franklin says this, if we're talking about drawing that person up in our mind, he says this, if you fail to plan, you are planning to fail. If you fail to make a plan, you are planning to fail every single time. Yeah, you might be able to, we might be able to get lucky and in a relationship, and things might be able to go well for a season, but if we don't make a plan, our plan is naturally to fail. And so, and don't the people we love deserve better than that? If we truly love them, don't they deserve for us to make a plan to be intentional and to love them? And I've often used this analogy I want to love somebody organically. I just want it to naturally flow. I've never seen that happen when somebody plans a proposal or an engagement and they go, oh yeah, well, it was romantic and all that, but they planned it. You know, they went to all this work and they planned it. That's not romantic. Showing somebody you care about and love them, it takes good planning. And so if you truly care about the person you love, make a plan. Make a plan to love them. And so today, if you're taking notes, the first point right out of the gate, make plans to love and to serve. Make plans to love and to serve. And this really is, according to my Uber driver a couple weeks ago, it was so interesting. She wasn't a Christian, but I was in this conversation. My wife and I were talking, and don't worry, Pastor wasn't getting drunk. We were just going into a downtown area that didn't have a lot of parking. And we were just chatting. I always love talking with different people, and I'm like finding out what makes them tick and different things. And so I'm talking, and she says, oh, you wouldn't believe some of the interesting people that I meet. And, you know, she said, we were talking about airport pickups. She said, those are always the funnest, because usually nobody comes back from an airport like, and just, hi, how's your day? It's usually, oh, this flight was this and this. But she said, I've often noticed how I treat them. If I treat them with love and respect, then things go, it's like wearing off all the gates and the delays, and maybe the airlines are grabbing people too soon. And they were taught, like, all the frustrations that people have flying. And she says, it all gets melted away with just a simple smile and being kind to them. And I find that principle, you know, I told her, I was like, well, what you're saying is so true. I find that Matthew 7, 12, if we could pull it up. If you have your Bibles, we're going to hang out in Matthew a little bit today. It's the first book in the New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And so if you don't have a Bible, we've got our big blues in the pews. You can grab one of those and take that home. That's our gift to you. But it says this in Matthew 7:12. So in everything, do to others what you would have them do to you. For this sums up the law and the prophets. That if you want people to treat you nicely, you treat them nicely. Whatever, how you would like to be treated, treat people that way. And so what this Uber driver, without even being Christian or knowing about it, she was said, I just treat people like I would like to be treated. And you would be so surprised how that whole conversation shifts. Now, here's the reality. The reality is this message, as we make plans to love and to serve people, it's not easy. And I know as a pastor that it's not something, you know, if we're making plans to just fill the room and just grow tons of people, that we would stray away from difficult messages like this. Because our society, our own selves, my human nature says, I don't want to serve, I don't want to be challenged. And it's very similar. I found this so very fascinating. I was sitting years ago in the gym. I was sitting down as I was kind of getting out of the gym. And I was just tying my shoes. I'm listening to this guy on the phone. And the guy's saying this. He was like, man, he was talking to one of his buddies. And he said, man, I've got this new trainer. And man, he kicked my butt today. And he was just like bragging about his buddy. He's like, and he made me do this. And he made me do this and this and this. And I was like, man, only in the gym is it this where we can brag. Somebody's pushing us hard, and that's good. It made me think about sometimes our spiritual life. We, in order to really grow, we need to be pushed. So here at Wilshire, we're not going to shy away from the difficult things. Because if we truly care about you and love you, we will push each other. Because I think God pushes us in his word. God doesn't always give us easy things, yet he calls us. He says, I want you to live a life and I want you to serve. And it's not always the church-friendly thing, and it always pushes us and sometimes feels uncomfortable, but a good trainer does that, right? Imagine the trainer that just says, hey, you're doing great. You know, you don't need to lift that heavy weight. Don't overexert yourself. You don't really need to run or jog and warm up. Just sit down. Let me bring you a bag of chips. You like chips, right? Enjoy those. We can do that sometimes even at church. Just want to make you feel good. No, we want to go to God's word and say, how does he want us to grow? How does God challenge us? And ultimately, my point today is this. When you love and serve people, you truly will find life. You truly will come alive. Jesus says it. And we'll get into it in just a second. Let's go over to Matthew 20. Because we can know these things. So we know in relationships. I mean, if you pick up any pop psychology magazine and say, how to make friends and what you need to do. We talked about last week, when you walk inside of a room, that when you walk into a party or you walk into a space, who are you thinking about most? Yourself. We think about ourselves. Well, how do people perceive me? And guess what? Everyone else in the room is doing the same thing. And nobody's worried about you. They're too busy worrying about themselves. And so we get caught up sometimes so much in ourselves. Yet there's this freeing aspect of actually serving other people and loving them. And you're free from worrying about yourself. But there's something inside of us that we cling to. We want to lift ourselves up, and there's pride, there's ego, and there's our own self-comfort. We want to be comfortable. We don't want to be uncomfortable. And so what we do, we try and do all these different things to protect us. I mean, think about friendships. A lot of these magazines and articles say, don't try and receive credit for yourself. Give credit to others. Don't be so hungry for that. yet there's something inside of me, there's something inside of all of us that constantly tries to grab. We want credit, we want glory, we want to be praised, a nice pat on the back. But here's what I love in the scriptures. In Matthew 20, verse 28, says this. So here's, Jesus is with all of his disciples here, and I love this scene. When you really slow down and read the Bible, there's so much humor in it. Hey, listen to this story. Then the mother of the Zebedees, this is James and John, the Zebedees, came to Jesus with her sons and kneeling down and asked a favor of him. So they come to Jesus, mom and the two boys, and she says this, grant that one of these two sons of mine may sit at your right hand and the other at your left in the kingdom, in your kingdom. Jesus' response is this. You do not know what you are asking, Jesus said to them. Can you drink the cup I'm going to drink? We can, they answered. Jesus said to them, you will indeed drink from my cup, but to sit at my right hand or my left is not for me to grant. These places belong to those who they have been prepared for by my Father. When the 10 heard about this, they were indignant with the two brothers. So Jesus calls them together and he says, the ruler, let me pause right there. So, I mean, imagine this scene, because you can just kind of go through it, but imagine the scene. James and John, some of Jesus' closest disciples, we know that Jesus has 12 disciples, and then there's Peter, James, and John, which are kind of his inner three. And James and John, the sons of Zebedee, so they've got mom there. And you can't blame mom, right? She's like, these are my boys. And she goes to Jesus and said, can they be your right hand and your left hand man? Can they just be your number one and number two? I'm always wondering which one she's picking, which one's number one, which one's number two, which one does mom like more? But she's sitting there, and notice the sons, they're not saying, oh, mom, don't ask that. I mean, imagine this before. Probably mama is like pinching them. You guys are good. You deserve to be at Jesus' left hand and right hand, right? And they're like, yeah, we do. Could you ask him for us? You know, like, what went on here in this conversation? Why does she go to them and kneels at Jesus' feet? They're not, no, mom, don't ask that. They're like, yeah, what's he going to say? So she asks this question, and then what happens? Then the other disciples get word of this. Now, here's a side note. You can know how you're doing with pride, with ego, when you're not afraid for others to get credit. Do you count others' likes? Do you count others' followers? Are you worried about these type of things on Instagram and Facebook? Are you worried, oh, I don't have enough, and you're worrying about, well, someone else has the higher position than me. Somebody's getting more credit than me. Somebody lives in a nicer house, drives a nicer car, and you're worried about these things. Or even with looks, how we can compare looks and we classify, well, I'm prettier, I'm better looking than this person or that. And yet sometimes we can say we're cured from those things, but we know we're really not when it bothers us when somebody else doesn't do as we think they should. So let me break that down. If we think, oh, we shouldn't care about our appearance or the cars we drive and different things, and so you remove yourself and say, hey, I don't care about these things, I care about God. Yet when somebody else gets ahead of you, drives a nicer car, maybe looks better, all these different things, and that bothers you, it's not fixed in you. Because you're upset that they've got ahead of you. The good news is we all struggle with this. The good news is the disciples were struggling with this because James and John were asking Jesus, actually, they didn't even have the courage to do it. They had mama do it, right? And so mom asks, and then the other disciples get upset that these two were trying to get ahead. So there's this fight of ego and pride within all of the disciples. They're all fighting for this. There's something inside of us. We're called to serve, yet there's this thing that gets in the way from all of us. And it says this, Jesus continues. He says, you know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their high officials exercise authority over them. Not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant, and whoever wants to be first must be your slave. Just as the Son of Man, Jesus, did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as ransom for many. Jesus came and he gave his life away. He gave his life away so that you and I could have life. Jesus came to this earth. I mean, imagine this. Let's pop over real quick to Philippians. Go to your right. We're going to keep going. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians. Philippians 2. We're going to go here. We quiet. We with me? We're there? We awake? All right. So here we are. Philippians 2. Because here's the thing. Did I give us our second point yet? Okay, good. I'm not going to give it to you. No. Okay, we're going to get to it right here. First one is to make plans to love and to serve. And then the second one is that you would find your purpose is far greater than your position. Your purpose is far greater than your position. Now, I feel like this is a word that you can store up. Now you can lock this away and save this one. Because this one, in many ways, I feel like for me, it's been gold. Your purpose is far greater than your position. Listen what Jesus, keep that in mind as we hear read this. Philippians 2, verse 1 says, therefore, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ. Last week, we talked about this relationship that God has with us. That with even in the Trinity, one God, yet three persons. And there's this overflow of love that comes out of that. The Father sends the Son out of love. And the Son goes and dies on the cross. And Jesus often says, I'm not doing this. I'm doing this to glorify the Father. And then the Holy Spirit comes and applies and sanctifies us, which just means makes us more and more like Jesus and makes us more and more like God. And what we find is that there's this unselfish love within the Trinity. Last week we joked about, imagine the Holy Spirit's like, well, why don't I get a dove? You know, why does every church have the cross? Why is Jesus on the cover of Time magazine? And I mean, imagine if the Holy Spirit was like that. Yet, we find the Holy Spirit working together, glorifying each other as one, and saying there's this love and this relationship within the Trinity that invites us in and calls us in. And so, what we see is if you have any, Paul is saying here in Philippians, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if we're talking about relationships, Jesus wants a relationship with you. God invites, it's more than just religion. He invites you in to be a part of a relationship with him. The greatest relationship. So if we're going to have good relationships with other people, we need to know that the God of the universe wants a relationship with us. And so that's what he comes in order to do so. Jesus comes out of spirit of servanthood. He said earlier in Matthew 20, I did not come to be served, but to serve. And this is it just enforced here. It says this, verse 2. Then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and one mind. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interest, but each of you to the interest of others. In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus. The next few verses go on to say, Jesus, who in his very nature, God, steps down into the universe. He gave it all up. And I mean, we're actually learning, if you have little children, they are learning this very thing right now as we speak. Over the last month, they are learning about what does it mean to be humble and to have humility. And part of having humility is serving others. And so they're actually looking at this passage in Philippians. So if you're a parent, I encourage you to teach your children these things. Talk about the sermon. Teach them how to serve. But here, what our students are learning and what the scriptures teach is that God, I mean, imagine this, Jesus, who's in heaven where there is no suffering, there is no pain, there is no tears, there are no tears, and just complete joy, steps into a world where there's devastation, there's sorrow, there's pain, there's punishment, and all of these difficult things. Jesus gives up all of this and goes
to be with us. Jesus enters in to gives up the heavenly realms to be in the worst situation. He gives up all that he has in order to serve and to love us. And so Paul writes, be like Jesus. Serve others. Take the same approach. Be humble. Be united to each other. Love other people just as Jesus loved you. And we have to teach these things. We have to learn these things. If you're taking notes, our last point is this. Does it get there? It says, put to death your pride, ego, and desire to be comfortable, and discover what it means to truly live. To put to death your pride, ego, and desire to be comfortable, and discover what it means to truly live. Let me make no mistake in saying this in the gospel, that you and I are saved by God's grace alone. There's nothing that can change that. As we talked about last week, when people come in relationships and they're in that early dating phase, the tryout phase, where they're always having to be done up and always worried about what they're saying and can't just relax and hang out and just veg, but kind of always on a tryout. Yet what God says, there is no tryouts. When you come to me, when you take a step of faith, you will be saved. Yet there's a life that we can live that can lead to death. We've talked about here a comparison of the Sea of Galilee and the Dead Sea. Do you know the Dead Sea has no outlet? And so water just constantly runs in it, and all the runoff and sediment runs in, so the salinity is really high. You can even float. It'll burn your eyes if you're in there. But there's no life in the Dead Sea, hence the name. And why? Because there's no outlet. There's no way for water to run out. You and I are designed for love to pour in and love to flow out. Overflow. You and I are designed for this love. It can't stay within us. Yes, we can go to church, but we're designed to love others. And so we have to practice putting to death our own ego. We have to practice putting to death our own selves, our own comfort. Now, this stuff has to be taught. Let me pull these out. Right here, I've got two sippy cups, purple sippy cups. In the Burke household, the purple sippy cups are coveted. This is gold in our house. And if you have little kids, or if you're going to have kids someday, know this. If you've got two and they're the same, they like stuff, you better have two of everything. Right? Moms, you know what I'm saying? Dads, you need two because one's going to complain. My oldest, her favorite color is purple. My youngest, her favorite color is pink. But when it comes to the cups, she wants purple. And they'll cry if they don't both get purple. Some mornings, though, there's only one purple cup. And so some mornings, I'm just pastor. I'm just a normal person like everyone else. I'm just kind of, barely waking up. And all of a sudden, you've got a kid screaming, there's no purple cup. You're just like, ugh. So I have to teach my children, just like I have to teach myself and our family to serve. And so I've asked them, I said, which one of you wants to give the joy of giving the other person the purple cup? Come on now, right? Let me tell this, it doesn't always work. It doesn't always work. But man, the times, and just, I feel like God even taught me this morning, it didn't work this morning, I tried it. My oldest daughter was like, I do. I'm like, you want to give it to her? She was like, no, I want the purple cup. And I'm like, it led to tears, it's hard. But there's been other mornings where I've said, who wants to give the other one the purple cup? And they almost fight over it. Who can give the other one the cup? And to see my oldest when she said, I want to give Livy the purple cup. There's a joy that she has in this. There's a joy that she gets to, and she's jumping up and down because she's watching my other daughter get happy. She's like, I have the purple cup. And so trying to teach, I said, remember this joy that you have by seeing the other person be happy. There's something that we have to teach our children. We have to teach each other. We need to encourage each other when we're giving. And when we see people, yesterday we had in this city, in Love Fullerton, we have over 3,000 people serving. And here we had 50, 60, maybe even plus that. That was just who gathered here on our plaza, and then we went over to be with the crowd. And it was so amazing to see. And these are opportunities that I encourage many of you to bring your children to. Many of you brought your children and taught them how to serve. And these are ways that we need to teach ourselves to serve. It's not the end-all, be-all, but they're opportunities where we learn to practice giving. Because Jesus said that we actually find life when we give it away. No greater love exists than when we lay down our life so others can live. And that's what Jesus actually invites us into. He invites us into to be a part of this. And so, it's not easy. But there's, when you have your purpose, that is, that cannot take away from what God is calling you to do. When you truly know your purpose, your position doesn't matter. Your position that you have, we can stress over these things. It was so interesting. I found God working yesterday in my life with my own story of serving and just in and somebody else in this exact idea. So yesterday morning, our whole family woke up and we were serving in the Love Fullerton. And then after that, so we're there for a couple hours and then going to a soccer game here at Wilshire. Shout out for our soccer leagues going on here. Awesome. And so we're got my daughters playing in that. And then I'm just at the end of that, you know, from up early 7 in the morning, then 1 o'clock done, I just want to go take a nap, you know, I just want to go home. And then we have a birthday party for little ones. And these are some families trying to connect with, and there's some other friends that I know they'll be there, and I want to tell them about Jesus. And so I'm sitting here, I'm like, but I don't want to go to this party, I just want to chill, I want to relax. But there was something inside of me that said, no, you need to go and you need to serve. And this word was on my heart of going and serving. And so I'm there, and just at the beginning, you know, as hosts are trying to get things ready and, you know, running around, setting stuff up, ice, filling drinks. And so like, how can I serve? And how can I went in with a position of wanting to serve. And so how can I do this? And, you know, grabbed a chair here and there. But then I started to realize, you know, just when you're trying to help somebody, you actually get in the way more than you're really helping them. So I was like, okay, I can take a hint. Get out of the way, Rob. You know, and that just is a side note. Sometimes serving, we can get a pride from serving, can't we? Look how good of a thing I'm doing. Now, don't stop serving, but just check the attitude and say, okay, why am I really serving? God still called me to serve. Serve. But notice your heart. Are you trying to get credit? Are you doing this to serve God and to truly love the other person you're trying to love? So I'm just stepping back in this party and saying, okay, what do you have for me, God? How can I serve? How can I love? And it's so interesting, gotten a few conversations and different things. But then I'm in this other conversation with this guy, and he begins to tell me this story of how he's dealing with marriage difficulty. A spouse who's seeing other guys. And so wrestling with infidelity, and he just recently lost a position. And he was falsely accused, and so now he's making far less in his current situation. And so we're just sitting here, and we're stopping and praying, and I looked at him and said, you know what I'm preaching on tomorrow? I said that your purpose can never be taken from you. Your purpose, his son was right here, his wonderful, beautiful son. I said, you know what? God has a purpose for you to love him and to raise him. The position that's taken away from you, your status, your spouse, all these things that can be ripped out from underneath us, but cannot be stolen from us, is our purpose. And so our position, maybe it's a job you were looking for and you were working hard and you didn't get that promotion that you deserved and somebody else got it and it was ripped out from underneath you. But you know what they can't take? They can't take your purpose. Because Jesus came, he died, he laid down his own life so that you can live. This now gets practice in our lives and how we do this. Parents. Co-workers, parents, as you pull into work, or you pull home after a long day of work, I've had somebody once challenge me and say, you come in that door, I want you to pray in your car for strength. Pray for strength only the Holy Spirit can give. Because what my spirit says when I come through those doors, I want Sports Center. Can I get an amen, some of y'all? Right? You come in, you just want a veg. What is it? Pinterest. Just look through your feed. But there's a call that I need prayer for strength as I walk through those doors, that I need to get down on my knees with my kids and to love them, to tell them they're loved. Because, I mean, think about this. How will life pass you by? I've looked at my girls as they're growing up, and there's times where I do veg out and pay attention to sports, and I'm not serving them and loving them. Life can quickly pass you by. Sometimes the things in life that haunt you aren't the things that you do wrong, but it's the things you don't do. It's just simply sitting back and letting life pass you by. Yet what I find in the scriptures that Jesus invites us in, Matthew 11, 28, Jesus says this, "Come to me, all who are weary and heavy burdened, and I will give you rest." Jesus came to this earth to serve. He said, "I invite you in to serve. Come find rest." Even in this saying, he says, "I will give you rest." As you go out and serve, may you first find rest in him. That's how he came. Not, "Oh, come serve me, come do this." No, he invites us to serve. You know, I love the name of our church, Wilshire Avenue. John, in the book of John, says that the word became, God became flesh and dwelt among us. Other versions say that God moved into the neighborhood. Man, we love this neighborhood. We love this city. Wilshire Avenue, the street that we're on. The property we're talking about across the street. Sometimes churches can be overemphasized on buildings and trying to get land, but simply that we would have tools to love people, a space for others to gather, a space to serve people, to serve our community, to love people. That's what Jesus came into. He said, "I came to serve you. I came to lay down my life for you." Whether you've heard that story a million times, may you know this morning that whether you've heard it for the first time or for the millionth time, that Jesus came to serve you. He came to lay down his life. He sacrificed for you. I need to hear that message every single day, that he gave his life for me. So I too can lay down my own pride, my own ego, my own self-comfort when I walk through the door. And then I can truly find life as I give my life away. Because that's how we find life, when we enter into the rhythm, into the path of grace that God calls us to live. He invites you to experience that. Would you experience that this morning? As you feel his love and enter in a relationship with him, may you come, and may you come fully alive in your life, as you realize the joy it is to serve others and not to be served. Let's pray. Father, may we pray this prayer. I realize that I want to serve myself. I want to glorify myself. Yet, Father, we know that you came to serve. I believe that you died on the cross to forgive me of my sins, and that you rose again, that there you came alive, you conquered death, the death in our lives, and so may we walk into this new life with you. Father, whether we've prayed that prayer 100 times or for the first time, you are inviting us in into a relationship of serving you, not only to serve you, but to serve ones that we love and care about. Father, rip away all the things that are holding us back here this morning, all the excuses that we have for reasons not to grow. Yet may we, like a good trainer, may we allow you to train us. May we allow you to give us strength. May you rip away our own ego, our own pride, our own sense of security. And may we just recklessly, just with all out abandon, love others. It's by your grace and your strength that we can do that this morning. We love you and praise you. In Jesus' name, amen.